Right now, I want to welcome a old friend of the, no, not just an old friend of the indie, but one of our key contributors for many years, Nicholas Powers. Nick, welcome back to the show.
Good to see you, John.
Yeah, it's good to have you back with us. And I mean, you're someone who's studied cinema a lot over the years, written about it some. Your thoughts on the Battle of Algiers is sort of a unique movie in the sort of pantheon of movies about revolutionary movements or politics.
Yeah, the two movies that had a huge influence on me for my left imagination and historical accuracy were the Battle of Chile, and the other one was the Battle of Algiers. And obviously the Battle of Chile is a documentary about the overthrow of the Allende government in Chile. And then the Battle of Algiers, although it's kind of drama fiction, right? That what I saw in that movie was, best way to put this, the impassioned commitment by an avant-garde revolutionary class that first had to take control of the streets. So actually, one of the earliest targets of the revolutionaries in the Battle of Algiers was the drug dealers and the drug users, the alcoholics, the pimps, the vice. And then once they seized control of the streets, because they knew that the criminal underworld was sometimes used by the colonial state as kind of a backdoor into the revolutionary movement, that they could be bought off and, used to infiltrate the movement. So they kind of squashed that. The revolutionaries squashed the underworld, and then they moved on to start challenging the state. And the thing that came very clear to me in watching the Battle of Algiers, which always stayed with me, was that the reality of asymmetrical warfare for liberation demands that the oppressed use exactly the tools that the colonial state will then say are terrorist acts that are horrific, and that actually kind of use the means of resistance by the revolutionaries as a way of branding the revolutionaries as terrorists. And that they are almost like working in two different moral worlds. But there's a very deep hypocrisy, because the colonial state itself was enacting an incredible amount of violence every single day, whether it was the arresting, the sexual assault, the breaking down of people's homes, the murder of population, of the indigenous population, the colonized. And so it was, what it did is that the camera pulled back the lens and to show that this cycle of violence, this kind of quote unquote, like the terrorist violence of the revolutionaries against the colonial state, wasn't coming out of a vacuum, but it was actually part of a cycle of violence. And that this cycle of violence was accelerating and accelerating, almost like one of those kind of atom smasher tubes in the Swiss Alps, the Hadron colliders. And it was spiraling and spiraling. And that eventually the revolutionary violence would be able to leave the orbit of the colonial state. It would be able to smash the colonial state and found a new state with the true consent of the people. And so in some ways, I felt the Battle of Algiers was, to me, a template for what revolutionary change can look like. And then the last thing I'll say is that it's so odd, because when I think about the Battle of Algiers, I think of how watered down versions of it have been in so many American movies, that if you look at, the Star Wars franchise, if you look at many of these Hollywood films, they have this kind of watered down, revolutionary, kind of superficial cartoon version of a revolution. Star Wars being the most obviously famous one. And it's so odd to see products by Hollywood promoting this idea of liberation and revolution however watered down, however cartoonish, to a population that, and around the world, you know, when the U.S. itself is one of the most conservative, you know, imperialist states, oftentimes selling arms to right-wing dictatorships and propping up conservative regimes around the world. And so in some ways, like, you know, we are the empire, but yet it's like the empire is selling itself the image that it is actually the rebellion. And I just thought that there was an odd historical irony there. Oh, John, I can't hear you. Oh, John, I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
John, you need to unmute. You know, that button that usually requires you to be audible and have the listening audience hear every word you say. Okay, I think
going on right now here at Star Bar.
Okay, you worked it out. All right, all right.
All right. we're just having a live radio moment there. Have people coming by. I'm sorry, Nick. Yeah, I was starting to ask any last thoughts on just the aesthetics of the way Pontecorvo, the aesthetics of how that story is told.
Yeah, I mean, the film is obviously shot in black and white. It's shot in a kind of a semi-documentary style. In other words, that it doesn't use, I would say, a lot of the either new wave from French or Hitchcockian or surreal camera angles or images or film noir. In other words, it doesn't use any kind of stylized aesthetics that would draw attention more to the aesthetics. And what it does, it almost really seems to use the visual vocabulary of a documentary. And, you know, the camera work is very, very simple. And what drives the movie is the crackling energy of the performance by the lead, whose name, you know, eludes me right now, but he was a fantastic lead, a handsome man. You know, you could almost see the revolution burning like embers in his eyes. And then obviously what it shows is the main character really is actually the building of the revolution. And the protagonists and, you know, the other characters are in a sense almost like vehicles for the larger revolution. But what's odd is that it's not a didactic film, because the characters themselves also are saying that the revolution is the main character in their lives, that they're all in service to it. And then finally, often the soundtrack is just amazing. If anyone takes a moment to, even if you just close your eyes and listen to the soundtrack, it's one of the most propellant, you know, adrenaline-driven soundtracks that you can hear. And it perfectly matches the building tension as the revolutionaries shoot people of the police, as they bomb buildings, and as they basically wage a urban guerrilla war against the colonial state. And so the music just matches that. It's almost like listening to a heartbeat getting faster and faster. So the aesthetics of it are just, you know, top notch.
Right. We have a couple of clips, just changing gears here back to the encampments, the Gaza Solidarity encampments that have been, popping up here in New York City at several campuses and across the country. We have a couple of clips that I think I hope we can go to in the next minute or two. But your thoughts also as a professor out at SUNY Old Westbury, I don't think there's an encampment out there, but your thoughts on the students, at least at certainly some high-profile colleges, really saying that they have to speak out, and, you know, regardless of whether their administration wants them to shut up or not.
Yeah. I almost want to start an encampment at SUNY Old Westbury myself, you know, as long as I can get Wi-Fi so I can grade my papers. I'll be out there. But anyway, as a professor, seeing other professors specifically at Columbia, voiced their opposition to the president, Columbia's president, who went in front of the Senate committee and just had a disastrous appearance, basically folded like a house of cards. And to see the professors out there in solidarity with the students, to me, was just heartening. And it was a generous act of solidarity. I think what the students are doing is in the tradition of, you know, the 1968, the anti-apartheid movement, the Occupy movement, the Me Too movement, the BLM. And students have always been at the forefront of political and social change in the country, which is why colleges have always been considered the laboratories of democracy. Because the goal at colleges is to have free and open academic questioning that allows for young minds to question the dogma that they've inherited through, you know, earlier education. And in that, hopefully come up with new answers for the time that they're living in, rather than get stuck with old answers that are not going to move them forward.